When I graduated from college, I immediately got a job as a customer service representative for Macy's at the Bayfair Mall in San Leandro, California. 4 years at an institution of higher learning, fluency in French, and the ability to intelligently analyze works of art were worth, as it turned out, exactly 20 cents. They offered me $6.10 per hour, but then raised it to $6.30, citing my degree as the reason. During my two-day training, I learned how to do everything my job didn't entail. Things like operating a register, cashing out, issuing a credit, and weighing myself on the scale in the women's restroom. Then my manager took me aside and reassured me that customer service was better than the other departments. This was the career track. I was behind the counter. "Work hard and you could get ahead," she said. Look at her. She had been working that very same desk since it opened in 1957. My department was at the end of a hallway with a dropped ceiling, fluorescent lighting, and linoleum floors that gave a distinctly Soviet-era sense of doom. I met customers at a Formica counter, in the middle of which sat a button. Press it, and an old-fashioned doorbell, ding-dong, could be heard in back. People loved that button. One woman came in for a battle about a grease-caked pressure cooker that she wanted to return, although it was years old and she had no receipt. She plunked her toddler on the counter, and he pressed the button incessantly. "Can I help you?" "Ding dong, ding dong." "Yeah, this thing doesn't work." "Ding dong." "And they won't." "Ding dong." "Give me another one." "Ding dong." Behind the counter, a tall divider concealed a windowless back office with several empty desks and squeaky chairs, gray metal file cabinets, and a carpet that was once tan. This was my safe haven. I had no idea what I was doing, not a clue. I was the destination for people who needed authoritative answers. I couldn't tell them the store hours without looking them up. "Housewares? I think it's on this floor. No, wait, maybe the first floor? I'm sorry, hold on a second. Let me look that up." The phone was always ringing. "I just bought a set of sheets and washed them, but now I've changed my mind. Can I still bring them back?" How should I know? At first, I took messages, trying to research the answer and call people back. But the calls didn't stop coming. I put people on hold until they hung up. The messages piled up, and eventually I started stuffing them into my purse and throwing them away when I got home. I felt like someone had put me at the helm of a nuclear submarine. No matter what button I pushed, something was going to blow up. On Fridays, it was my job to hand out the paychecks to my fellow employees. They stood, fingers tapping, while I leaned into the special paycheck cabinet under the counter to find their envelopes. The men seemed especially eager to help me navigate the alphabet. They'd lean over the counter and peer into the box with me. "That's F. No, wait, you're on E. One more." It took me exactly 2 weeks to realize they were just trying to get a better look down my shirt. The store was always pushing credit, offering the usual 10% off today if you open an account with us deal. Employees received a scratch-off game card every time someone opened an account successfully. Even I won $200, which I promptly took to the jewelry department and spent, using my employee discount, on a Movado watch. But when someone's credit was declined, and this happened frequently, that unfortunate person was sent to me to hear the bad news. They already knew what was coming, but still they came. I could recognize the credit application as it marched toward me, clenched in someone's fist. They had no idea what could be wrong. Everything was fine. Their credit was perfect. They needed that leather sofa. "That's horrible," I'd say, feigning astonishment and indignation on their behalf. I played good cop to the credit department's bad cop. "I'm going to call those people right now and find out what's wrong."